Good morning and welcome to worship. My name is Lenora Russo and I have the privilege of welcoming us this morning. And I just wanted to take a moment to point your attention to our new Connect card. You might have noticed that it's loose now. You don't have to rip it out. So if you all will take a moment to fill those out at some point. If you worship with us regularly, it is always a joy to share this time with you. And just filling in your name and your email is very helpful for us. And if this is your first time here, we're especially glad that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. We want you to feel welcome and to sense God's Spirit in a meaningful and tangible way this morning. If you're willing to let us know that you were here, we will accept as much information as you are willing to share with us and be grateful for it. Later, you'll be able to pass those in with the offering. So please take a moment to complete those. They do help us with our ministry here. I wanted to share with you that our mission box this morning is Porch to Solomon, and it is a ministry that operates in Guatemala, opening homes and specifically porches for friends and family to come and experience the love of Christ and hear the gospel in an intimate way. I invite you to read more about that in your bulletin and consider giving generously as you leave today at any one of the 5 mission boxes that are in the back of the worship center as you go out this afternoon, after the worship service. And so this morning, we are celebrating Pentecost, which marks the coming of the Holy Spirit 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead and 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. The disciples were gathered in Jerusalem, and they were waiting for whatever was coming next. And what came was unbelievable. There was a rush of winds, and they were so empowered that they went out and started proclaiming the gospel to everyone that they could see. And what was amazing about that is that everyone could hear the gospel in their own native tongue. So people had a chance to hear the good news of God's love for us and God's saving grace in Jesus Christ and to respond to that. And 3,000 people were welcomed into the body of Christ that day. And so it is often referred to as the birth of the church. And it is that same spirit of hospitality, of wanting to be able to share the good news of Christ with all those we encounter in a way that meets them where they are and enables them to respond. With that in mind, I say to you, welcome home. It's great to see you. Will you stand and greet someone around you? And if there is someone you don't know, make sure to introduce yourself to them.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able and join in singing our opening hymn?
Bring order out of strife. May we feel your presence this day, Holy Spirit, like the people gathered on that day of Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit, rush into our hearts and quicken our souls. Empower us by your Spirit to live a life more faithful to God. And now would you join me in affirming our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. We have the privilege now to unite our hearts and go to God in prayer, and we acknowledge this morning that we have all come literally from different places, but figuratively we come from places of joy where we want to offer praise and thanksgiving to God for his work in and through our lives throughout this week. We come from places of burden, places of concern, where we want to lay those before the throne of God. And so as we enter into prayer, there will be a time of silence where you can speak to God in the quiet of your heart and lift those joys and concerns. You might also want to lift the names of these folks who are receiving care and nurture from our congregational care team. And of course, this morning we want to remember our brothers and sisters in London as well. Let us unite our hearts and go to God. Spirit of the living God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Spirit in our lives and in our church, for the gifts you give to each of us to create your beloved community here on earth, for all of creation, that it may be honored and preserved and protected, for all that you have given and will yet give. For the leaders of our nation and all nations of the world, that they might be guided with wisdom and understanding and committed to act in ways that bring your presence and peace, we pray, come, Holy Spirit. For all places where there are wars and rumors of wars, for those places where hunger gnaws, for those places ruled by oppression and injustice, for those places where hatred seeks to overwhelm love, we pray, come, Holy Spirit. For all who are ill, whether in body, mind, or spirit, for all who mourn, whether for the loss of loved ones, the loss of a job, or even the loss of faith, fill them with your Spirit of compassion and strength and healing, that they might know they are never alone. open our hearts to your Spirit, renew us with your passionate fire, and make us Pentecost people who reach out in love and caring to all the world. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Followers of Jesus Christ, committed to making a difference in the world, it is our joy and privilege to give our tithes and our offerings. We combine those resources here at Trinity so that wherever the Spirit leads us in our ministries, we can answer God's call, fulfill the mission that He has given us. And so now, ushers, would you come and I will pray and let us worship God this morning with our offering. O Lord, giver of life, of salvation, of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for the gifts you continue to pour upon us. Take these gifts we return to you and use them for your glory now and forevermore. In the name of Christ we pray.
seven next words of Jesus. You all may be familiar with the seven last words of Jesus. Those seven words that Jesus spoke from the cross, the phrases with which he spoke to the people surrounding him when he was being crucified. And then beginning after Easter, we started looking at the seven next words of Jesus, the words or phrases of instruction that he offered during the days of his resurrection appearances. And we hear about those in the Gospels. This morning, scripture reading comes from the book of Acts. Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and he wrote it to Theophilus. We don't know who Theophilus is exactly, but Luke explains to him that the Gospel of Luke was written about the acts and the teachings of Jesus. And Acts, the second book written by Luke, was written about the acts of the followers. That's the acts of the apostles. So this morning's scripture reading is from that very opening scene in the book of Acts. It's the scene where Jesus ascends to go and be with God, and to have no more resurrection appearances on earth. And as we read that scene from the first part of the book of Acts, we hear his last instructions to the disciples, and we hear the seventh, or the last, of the next words of Jesus that we're talking about. Wait for the gift. So as we read together, I invite you to follow along on the screens with me as I read from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Theophilus, Luke writes, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, this is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Jesus replied, it isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, two men in white robes stood next to them. They said, Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come again in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray for me. And I pray for you that the Holy Spirit will speak into your life. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Reminds us of other periods of 40 days. We remember the 40 days that Moses was on Mount Sinai when he was receiving the instruction and law from God. We remember the 40 days that Elijah spent in the desert when he fled because he feared for his life. And it was there in the desert for 40 days that God cared for him and fed him and prepared him. Remember the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. Those 40 days after he was baptized, when he was tempted and tested and was made ready for preparation for his public ministry. And now we have these 40 days. 40 days of Jesus giving instruction and teaching to the disciples before he their teacher and Lord had been executed, killed. What we all know is what that in-between time can feel like. You know, this weekend in Gainesville, there were many high school graduations. Seniors are graduating from high school, and this summer will be an in-between time for them, a time of transition for both them and their that in-between time sometimes can be a really exciting time, like when you're waiting for the birth of a child. For some of you, you may be experiencing that in-between time as you are moving from one job to the next, or from a career into retirement. And then sometimes that in-between time is a really difficult time. The time after the loss of a loved one. Really not sure what's going to come next. The disciples had 40 days of in-between time, and now Jesus gives them one last piece of instruction. This is wait for the gift. Don't leave Jerusalem, just stick together and wait for the power that is promised to you by the Father. He says that they have been baptized by water, but they will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, they really don't understand what that means. So they ask him, they say, are you going to immediately restore the kingdom of Israel? Little do they know that their vision is much too small. Jesus hasn't been talking about restoring kingdoms or governments of this earth. No, he's been talking about restoring the kingdom of God, the reign of God. And he hasn't been talking about what's going to happen to one nation or one people. No, he's been talking about the restoration of the entire earth, the transformation and restoration of all of creation. Jesus says to them, it's not important for you to know the timing of all of this. What is important is that you will receive power from the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And then right at that moment, he is taken up into heaven. You know, the image came to me of the end of the movie E.T., where they're watching the spaceship go up with E.T. on it. Well, the disciples are all standing there watching Jesus go up into the heavens. And then it says, two men in white. Y'all know Two Men in Black, also a movie about extraterrestrial beings. But it was really two men in white, and they didn't look like Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. They looked like Moses and Elijah. Two men in white came, and they stood there with the disciples, and they said, what are you doing looking up to heaven like, heaven help us? We've got work to do. So go. Go back to Jerusalem and wait for the gift. And so they go, as Jesus instructed. They leave the Mount of Olives and they go back to Jerusalem, and they do two things while they wait for the gift. Two very important things. One, they stick together. And two, they pray. Luke tells us that the disciples went back to Jerusalem. They went to that upstairs room at the bed and breakfast where they had all been staying, and they got together. They stayed together, the disciples and the faithful women. The women were always there. And the brothers of Jesus. They stuck together. And then they prayed. It says they were united in their devotion to prayer. Today, waiting is a really difficult thing for us to do. If we had been there with those two men and they had said to go back to Jerusalem, we would have gone, but we would have taken action immediately. You know, we're a very action-oriented society. We don't like to wait. Just think about how frustrated you get when that little spinny thing on your computer goes on for even 10 seconds. We do not like to wait. But that's what we're told to do. You see, our waiting signifies that the things that need doing are beyond our ability to accomplish on our own. Did you hear that? Our waiting signifies that the things that need doing are beyond our ability to accomplish on our own. Our waiting signifies that we need the gift. We can't do it on our own. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's the gift for which we are waiting. That word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, from which we get words like dynamite and dynamo and dynamic. That's the kind of power that the Holy Spirit gives. It is going to enable us. Think about that. After the death of Jesus and after his resurrection, those disciples were typically very timid and afraid. They were huddled together in disbelief. They didn't know what to do until they went back to their everyday routine lives. Jesus had risen, and fear captivated these would-be witnesses. So Jesus tells them to wait for the gift. Today we celebrate the coming of that gift. It came to them gathered there 10 days after the ascension. It came on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. With that kind of power, the timid followers found their tongues. Peter emerged from his own cowardice to preach a powerful message through the power of the Holy Spirit, saying, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young will see visions, and your elders will dream dreams. And the power of the Spirit filled that small band of disciples and the women and the brothers of Jesus, and all of those who were there, and they became witnesses literally to the ends of the earth. You know, in praying about this scripture this week, I was talking about Trinity. I know that this year has been a time of transition for Trinity. It was a year ago this weekend that you celebrated Dan's retirement. Your beloved former minister. It's a time of transition. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about you all. You are an amazing congregation, and you have over the years embraced many bold visions. Almost 2 decades ago, after much prayer and time together, you embraced the dream of moving to this piece of property. You left the 8th Avenue location because you didn't want that small piece of property to inhibit your ability to make disciples and to share the love of Jesus with others. And so you built buildings and you built sports fields and you reached out to the community and invited them in. And most recently you realized the dream of being debt free. Amazing. Over these last 20 years you've also embraced visions of being loving community, committed to sharing that love with others and being compassionate. In the face of hatred, you embraced peace, hope, and understanding, and were a witness to this community, and not only this community, but across the nation, for building bridges of love and respect with people of other religions, with our Muslim brothers and sisters and sisters. You stood up to bigots who were harassing mourners. You've embraced people with disabilities and differences, first by building the playground, but most importantly, by your loving and open hearts. You've embraced visions of clean water in Malawi and homes in Appalachia and seminary students in Russia. You know, I wonder what vision God has for us. I wonder what dream God is calling us to dream now. Whatever it is, I am confident that it has to be something that we can't accomplish on our own. Whatever the dream is, it has to take the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to make it become a reality. How do we discern that dream? How do we catch that vision? We wait for the gift. Will Willimon says, "Our waiting and praying indicate the gift of the Spirit is never an assured possession of the church. It's not. It is a gift. A gift which must be constantly sought anew in prayer. Until those who know the facts experience the power, they do well to wait in Jerusalem and pray." We too should follow the example of the disciples and of the women. And one, stick together. And two, pray. So, in light of that, I have two challenges for you this summer. First of all, make worship a priority. This is a time for us to come together as a congregation in worship. That was when the people gathered together that the Holy Spirit came with flames of fire and rested on their heads. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them and they were together listening. Listening to God's direction, opening ourselves to the movement of the Spirit happens when we are together. Make worship a priority this time. And number two, I invite you to do anything. I invite you to pray every day for dream that we could never accomplish on our own. So every day I invite you to be in prayer. And I will be in the chapel every Tuesday from 5 to 6. And I invite you to come and join me in prayer. After the last service, somebody said, so are you going to pray out loud while we pray silently? And I said, no, we're all going to pray silently. We're going to sit together and pray as we wait for the gift. So if you can come for any or all of that time on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock, I'll be in the chapel every week this summer. And I hope to see you there as we pray together. You know, you never know what God is calling us to do and what God can accomplish through us if we will just simply wait for the gift. You know, it was on that day of Pentecost that the disciples received the power of the Holy Spirit. Before that time, they were timid and they had lost their tongues. But after the power of the Holy Spirit came, Peter preached a powerful sermon, and 3,000 people were baptized in that one day. Not a bad witness for one day. What is it that God might be calling us to do? What dream might God have in store for us? Are we willing to wait for the gift so that we can hear it and be given the power to do it? And then we'll be bold to live in the God's dreams and visions. Let's get together and let's pray. And let's see what God is calling us to do together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. We are often timid and we are often frightened. We often want to go into a room and close the door. There is so much pain and darkness in our world. But you are calling us to dream big dreams and to see visions. Your vision. Lord God, help us to sit together and wait. To wait for your gift. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, fill us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and power us.
upon my servants, men and women. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. Every time we come to this table, we do so in anticipation of the gift. For it is the Spirit at work through the gift of communion by which we recognize our eyes are open to the Spirit of Christ among us. Our hearts are strangely warm and we are nourished to go out and live faithfully as followers. And so today I invite you to join me in a great thanksgiving as we share in the liturgy of the Lord's Day of Pentecost. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. In the beginning, your Spirit moved over the face of the waters. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. Your Spirit came upon prophets and teachers, anointing them to speak your word. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you. And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. At his baptism in the Jordan, your Spirit descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son. With your Spirit upon him, he turned away the temptations of sin. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and the fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and sharing of the bread. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit until Christ comes in final victory. Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. With those who are serving this morning, please meet us at the altar. Table that has been prepared is a table to which Christ invites us all. And so here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is always open. Each of you is welcome to come and receive. You'll come to the pair of servers in front of your section, prepare to receive the gift of bread, and then take that bread and dip it into the cup. Then you can return to your seats by the other side of your section, or if you'd like, feel free to spend some time at the prayer rail. Everything is ready. Come. mystery of your grace as we have received it here. Now may we go out to offer it by the power of your Spirit.
Would you please stand?
Over the next few hours, this room that we are in will be transformed because tomorrow Vacation Bible School begins here with nearly 300 kids at Hero Central. So I first of all invite you to be praying for all of those kids and 150 people who are offering themselves as servant volunteers this week to be a part of that. And I also want you to know that you, if you are able, can stick around and help, because the first thing that needs to be done is to clear the room. And so if you have a few minutes to help our team do that, look for somebody in one of the red Hero Central t-shirts. I see our Children's Director of Ministries, Elizabeth, back here. They would be happy to give you a task to help so that that can get them on their way in getting things ready for this week.
So after you help stack a couple of chairs, you will go out into the world